So I reminded you at the beginning of the service, we are at the beginning of a fall series called Becoming, asking who are we becoming, and we're looking at the four different core values of the church and our leadership. It is to grow, to serve, to care, and to steward. Today we're focusing in on care, and not particularly the form that it takes with our deacons, which is our care ministry, but the ministry that we are all invited to and even commanded to by the Lord to care for one another. And both of these passages describe what that means and what that looks like for us. So I want to dig into both of those for a moment. The first one is the passage in Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. And this describes our calling to care. And the result of that, and the purpose of that, is a unity with God's purpose and God's plan. So called for unity. The passage starts out in verse 1 with what you see on the screen, where we are invited to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. And you probably know or can figure out that it's not talking about the way we walk, whether it's bouncy or sassy or slow or fast, but it is our lifestyle. The way we live is our Christian walk, our walk of faith. And he ties it to this idea of calling. And I wanted to take a minute to explain what that is, to talk about that. Calling is mentioned here in verse 1. It's also mentioned again in verse 4. In the whole series of there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one calling, you know, this whole list of ones kind of pointing us towards unity. But I thought maybe calling sounds mysterious. I probably, you know, in church terms, most often hear it related to a call to ministry. It's that mysterious thing that pastors get that leads them into ministry. And that is a thing. It's not quite as mysterious as you might think. Just as an aside, it's kind of a three-way thing where a person, and I've experienced these, feels like God is leading them in a direction that can be a burning bush in the case of Moses. It can just be kind of an inner sense that God is has made something available for you and perhaps gifted you or intends for you to do something. And that was my sense. It wasn't flashy or smoke or fire or anything like that. It was just a sense of this is what God wants me to do. Those who ordain people into ministry often look for, is there anybody else that thinks you're called to ministry? If you're the only one, maybe you need to ask some questions. But are there others that have maybe seen you in a ministry context and can validate that call? And then there is the actually doing some ministry. Like you want to see it at work. Kind of thing. But that's not what is in view here. This is the calling that all Christians have. And I thought about a number of different ways to describe that. And I think the simplest to understand is the calling that Jesus gave to his followers, which is simply, come follow me. If you're in the chosen class, I realize it got off to an internet bumpy start this morning, but at some point you'll hear him say those words in that series, because it's part of the gospel message. He would say to this person or that, to a fisherman or a tax collector or a religious leader, come follow me. That's the call, right? And if somebody calls you on the phone or calls out to you, it generally invites response. Yes, I'll go where you lead. You know, put your nets down. I will no longer will you be a fisher of fish. I'll make you into a fisher of men. Come follow me. Or Matthew, leave your tax booth, come follow me. Or to any number of you, maybe it was when you were a child, maybe it was as an adult, maybe you're still trying to figure out, has God spoken to me? But it is that, come, follow me, trust me, believe in the one I've sent, Jesus Christ, and be my disciple. It is not what some Christians are, it is what all Christians are. If you've trusted Christ, you have responded to that call. So that's what Paul's talking about here. To walk in a manner worthy of the invitation God has given you. Come follow me, Jesus. Walk as if you are a follower of Jesus. And he is writing it to a church, as many, maybe all, in the New Testament who were struggling. This conflict or that, this struggle, this division. The church in Ephesus was not unusual in that. And he's reminding them who they are following. That's the source of their calling. And then he starts talking about unity. This particular church in this city seemed to struggle with that kind of division. And so he talks over and over again about unity, that list of things in there. There's one body, one spirit, you know, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. All to say, God is not divided. Jesus is not divided into teams. It's all one body with Christ as the head. So if you're following him, follow him. And there will be a unity and a peace that is spiritual, that is faith-filled. And the bulk of what we read in Ephesians is a list that you see on the screen, a list of what that looks like, that manner of walking, right? So here's a list: humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, which has the sense of forbearing, bearing with someone for the sake of love, and peace. And Paul says all of these are characteristics of following Jesus, of answering the call, of walking in a manner worthy of your call, and they all result in unity. They draw people together. The phrase he uses is the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It binds us together when we live and act in these ways. Well, hold on to that list, and we're going to change the slide, but keep that list in your mind, and I want to look for a minute at Colossians 3. Same kind of idea. Paul's writing to this church now in the city of Colossae. Again, division, struggle, and all this. A similar message regarding unity. For the sake of the one you follow, act in this way, and it will bind you together. It will address division and bring about unity. In this, in Colossians, he doesn't initially use the language of calling. He uses the language of choosing. God has chosen you for this purpose, right? To be united, to follow after Jesus. He does, actually, by the end of it, in verse 15, he talks about let the peace of Christ rule because you're called in one body. So he gets back to the idea of called, right? But this idea that God has chosen you. Picture again Jesus walking out by the seashore, choosing Peter and Andrew and James and John, saying, come follow me. Come be a disciple. Let me teach you. And again, there's this list. It's a little bit longer list of traits of what it means to live this kind of lifestyle, this manner of walking. In the Colossians language, again, there's a shift from this image of walk to one, it's one of my favorites, of getting dressed. And the language is put on compassion, kindness, put on humility and gentleness and patience. These are things that don't necessarily come naturally to us, but they are things that we can choose to put on, just as when we get dressed in the morning, we can choose what to wear. It can be a business suit. It can be casual clothes. And it all signals something to the people around us. This language in Colossians is choose to put on these traits which result in the unity of the body, the bond of peace. They draw people together, whether that be believers within the community of Christ or those outside drawing people to Christ. This is why God has called us. It's why God has chosen us. It is to draw us together into the one God's purpose of caring for the world. Now, at this point, I was very tempted to go into a long thing of, well, let's talk about what is compassion, what is kindness, what is humility. But I'm going to resist that. I think you probably know what most of these words are and what they look like. The issue is not defining them, it's putting them on. Oh, and I should add that when you look at the list from Ephesians, all of the ones in Ephesians are in this list. So we're going to sit on this for a minute and think about this is what Scripture, in two different places, how we're supposed to live. It's not something that comes naturally to us, but it is something that God empowers in us that we have to choose to do for the sake of unity. So what I want to do instead of defining all these is a little exercise with you. Each one of these traits is a way of following or obeying Christ that takes the form of caring for one another. And it results in unity. It binds people together in the right way, in a godly and good way. In a sentence up here, in Christ, God calls and chooses, I'm merging these two passages together, God calls and chooses us so that we might be of one heart and one mind with him and in our mission and ministry to one another. So here's the exercise. It's in a couple of parts, and there's going to be some pauses. You're not going to have to say anything out loud or report to me, but I am going to ask you to be honest with yourself and with the Lord. First, think of, if you can, some sort of relational struggle or argument or break that you've experienced. You could be in the middle of that. It could be something in the distant past. But see if you can bring to mind, and for some it comes quickly, for others we've kind of hidden that away. But what I want to do is apply God's word to the situation. See if you can think of, for yourself, an example of where relationship has been broken or has struggled over something. I'm going to give you just a second to ponder that. And then look at the list up there. This is taken from both passages. And consider those, that their purpose is obedience to the Lord, that we live these out or is obedience, and they result in mending and binding together relationship in Christ rather than dividing. And I would ask you just to pick one to focus on. We have a little bit more thought exercise. And perhaps the one that you may struggle the most with showing. I mean, there's probably something on there that you comes pretty naturally because of your personality, or it's your thing. But pick one that you really struggle with and ponder the situation asked you to think about. And we're not going to talk about whose fault it was or who said what first or did what first. But what I want to ask you is your part in that relationship. How might things have gone differently? How might things go differently if the one of these that you struggle with, maybe it's patience. If you could put that on, show that in a godly way, and you're probably thinking, God's going to need to help me show that. But if you could, can you imagine what might have gone differently in that conversation or that relationship or that situation? And just ponder that for a minute and just play that out a little bit. Maybe it's a particular conversation or an event that happened or just a distance that has been created. If God could help you with one of these that's very hard for you, how could that reshape the situation? I'll say this. It may not have changed the outcome, because you can't determine what another person does or chooses or says or reacts or responds. But the scripture would suggest that it could change you and how you respond and speak and act. To choose to put on patience rather than to cast it aside. So maybe here's the part I didn't even want to say because I don't want to have to do it, but here we go. Is your particular thing you thought about, your person, your situation, is the file still open on it? Is it possible to re-engage with some intentionality to putting on humility or patience or love or forgiveness? At the very least, is it something you could pray about? Say, Lord, would you, I recognize and this situation has put it in my face. I've realized that I really struggle with forgiveness, or I really struggle with patience. Lord, would you help? Would you grow that in me? Would you help me walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which I've been called? And maybe it's particularly with this person, the situation, maybe it's just your own growing up spiritually. But God, would you help me in that? And I would encourage you with this, that each day, two things each day. For one, every morning, the Bible says, the Lord's mercies are new. His kindness, his compassion has no end. And each day is a day full of the new mercies of the Lord. And I said I love this imagery from Colossians. It's because it reminds me of getting dressed, which is something you do every day. So even if patience, forgiveness, kindness, something that doesn't come naturally to me, I'm reminded that each morning when I wake up and I'm reminded that the mercies of God are new, I have the choice to put on these traits. And I wonder, wow, how would that reshape each day? When I see my family, when I go to work, when I go to school, when I encounter people and situations and actions. And maybe I can't go back and redo something, but I can choose to walk in the manner worthy of the calling to which I've been called moving forward in this day and tomorrow morning and the day after that. So I would challenge you. I can't remember, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Christy, what was the thing we talked about? The mini something?
Goals.
Mini?
Goals.
Goals, mini. So Christy was, we were talking about some different spiritual practices, and she mentioned mini goals, which is kind of like mini golf, but it's a lot more spiritual than that. Here's one mini goal for you, right? It's not a two-hour Bible study or joining this or that. It's when you wake up in the morning, bookmark, find a Bible, bookmark these two spots, Ephesians 4, Colossians 3, and take about 2 minutes to read, or take your bulletin to read these two passages and to simply pray, Lord, help me put on these, pick one or the whole list. Lord, help me put this on and walk in this way today. Before you put on your actual clothes or before your feet hit the ground, Lord, help me start this day. And the nice thing is, before you have your coffee, you don't even have to be able to speak clearly, right? You just form the thoughts to the Lord. But what if we started each day with this mini practice, this mini habit of asking God, help me walk faithfully and obediently as someone you have called and chosen. And what these scriptures say is that's how we're supposed to walk, and it results in the bonds of peace, right? In binding together the kinds of situations and conversations and actions and things that drive us apart. This is how God binds us together as we follow him with these kinds of practices. So that's my challenge to you this morning. And as the Lord is my witness, for myself first. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you invite us to so much that is good and faithful and winsome and whole and healthy and a blessing to those around us. Yet we're so quick to turn to other habits and choices that aren't what you describe. And yet what you have for us is so good. Would you draw us to yourself? Would you help us to put on these traits of caring for one another, for those around us, for the communities in which we live, that we might live out before the world the bonds of unity in your one Spirit, you who are our one Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.